From our website at radiomaria.us and on your smartphones through the World Families app. On your home telephone at this number,
1-631-359-8743.
And on the radio in Louisiana on 580 AM KJMJ Alexandria, 1360 KNIR New Iberia, and on FM at 89.7 KBIO Natchitoches and 91.1 KOJO Lake Charles. In Texas on 1250 AM KDEI Port Arthur. In Ohio on 88.7 FM WHJM Anna, 1600 AM WULM Springfield with translator W277 AO, 103.3 FM Enon Dayton. In Pennsylvania on 88.1 FM WHHN Holly Daysburg Altoona. In Mississippi also on 88.1 FM WOLM D'Iberville Biloxi. In Wisconsin on 91.3 FM WRMW Peshtigo. And in Florida on 91.9 FM WMKL Hammocks, Miami.
Radio Maria USA, a Christian voice in your home.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. It's 10 a.m. Central Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. We now bring you The School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone, all priests, deacons, sisters, brothers and sisters of divine will and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalma, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So we're excited, but we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer, and we're going to use a supplication from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands, so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So again, it's just a joy to be here, grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. I was just listening to Father Dan's program before this, and I almost forgot we were going live. It was just so beautiful. Just a reminder, we are in the midst, we're coming to the conclusion of the Spring Mariathon. So please, during this program, if you can be generous, be as generous as you can. You can go to radiomaria.us or call 888-408-0201. We'll speak a bit more about this at the second half, or during the second half of this program. So, Mother, today is the Feast of St. Philip Neri. And if my recollection is correct, he's only one of two saints that our Blessed Lord speaks of in the Book of Heaven. I think it's St. Aloysius he speaks of, which I think Louisa was named after, and St. Philip Neri. Am I correct with my memory? Because my memory is like a sieve.
I think so, yeah. I just remember those two. Philip Neri.
St. Francis,
yeah.
Oh, he does mention St. Francis?
Yeah.
Okay.
He mentioned St. Ambrosio. That was a St. Ambrosio something.
Oh, the vine too.
Yeah, but St. Philip Neri was one of the very favorite saints in Rome. He brought dead people to life. He performed so many miracles. People would try to take pieces of his clothes. And so he would wear his clothes backwards sometimes. Sometimes he would shave just half of his face so that people would think he was an idiot and would stop proclaiming him a saint. He had quite a sense of humor. He suffered a lot. He was persecuted a lot. All the saints, if you're going to become a saint, you got to be persecuted. So for all of us who feel persecuted in any way sometimes, you know, we all get it a little bit here and there. It's good for our souls. We need it. We need it. God knows we need it. But Philip Neri, we're watching his movie right now, and I suggest it to anyone who wants to know more about him. I don't know how true to the facts it is, but Paradiso, what is the name? It's
I Prefer Paradise.
I Prefer Paradise. It's, you can get it on YouTube. And the actor who played the Philip died, I think, last year. He was a very good actor. But anyway, it's a beautiful movie, 4 hours long, I think, almost 4 hours. It's worth watching. It's beautiful. So anyway, that's just a little plug for Philip Neri. And also the Ascension Thursday that we're celebrating on Sunday. But we'll have Ascension Sunday, but today is Ascension Thursday.
You know, and in the... In the Book of Heaven, Mother, in Volume 10, January 17. See, Volumes 8, 9, and 10, our Blessed Lord speaks about the priesthood. He talks about his disappointment, actually, at the priesthood. But he also talks about the rejuvenation that he's going to do, the renew that he's going to do in the priesthood. And this is when he was talking about in Volume 10 about setting up those homes of reunion for priests. I just want to read a couple lines here. This is Louisa speaking, quote, "And I said, my highest and only good, what will be the name to be given to these houses and what are the rules? And our Blessed Lord said, the name will be the Houses of the Resurrection of the Faith." How appropriate. Then he goes on to say, "Tell Father B that you will be the organ and he will sound for this work. If he will be mocked and disliked by others who have other interests, the good and the few will do what I need." He also says that as for the rules for this house or these house of reunion, they can use the same rules as the oratory of St. Philip Neri.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. So again, what is very obvious, what our Blessed Lord sees in Philip Neri, St. Philip Neri, he likes, and of course, maybe perhaps we ought to learn more about the charisms of St. Philip Neri, so that we may emulate those. But he's got some beautiful quotes, so I'll just read one now and go back to Italy. And this is very appropriate, I think, for the time we're in, the times we're in. It's a lot of darkness, a lot of sadness. And the divine will is here to lift our spirits, to get us back on track, to get us refocused. St. Philip Neri says, quote, "A joyful heart is more easily made perfect than a downcast one," end quote. So God is going to perfect us as his Father is perfect in heaven. We need to be in the proper disposition. Not only have the knowledges and have the desire, but we can't be downtrodden. We can't be worried about everything that's going on, because quite frankly, if we really thought about how bad things are in the world, it would paralyze us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And we cannot allow that to happen. Philip Neri could be a great example to us, Mother.
Yeah, well, you know, our Lord told Louisa, when we worry, we're out of his will. When we worry, we lament. There's something good about thinking positive thoughts. God is the author of positive thoughts. The devil's the author of negative thoughts. But Philip Neri in the movie, now I'm sure he had more than this in his rule, but in the movie, and the Pope came to see what he was doing with his little church and his parishioners, and he wanted to know what his rule consisted of. And he says, "I have one rule." And he said, and the Pope was wanting to make him a cardinal at that point. He didn't want to be a cardinal. Gave back the cardinal hat. He said, "I have one rule, and that is charity. Carita," he said, "carita." So, and that's what the whole divine will is all about, love. You know, it's all about love. And God loving us and us loving him back. I was just reading here in volume 21, May 26, 1927. Louisa was saying, "How hard is my state?" Louisa complained, so I guess sometimes we complain too. You know, she was very honest with Jesus. "How hard is my state? I feel I cannot go on. The divine will is inexorable, immutable, and having to deal with the fiat is no joke. One feels all the weight of its immutability, and one remains immutable with its immutability, impassive into everything. It puts one in the condition of wanting whatever it wants, be there even chastisements, are the very privations of Jesus that cost me so much. Of all that it wants, it grants everything, but of what the soul wants, it concedes nothing, not even one comma. But while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior and told me, 'My daughter, my will wants to be free in the soul, and therefore it does not want to concede even one point or one comma of what she wants, be it even a holy thing. It does not want to find limits in her. It wants to extend its dominion in everything. It wants that what my will wants and does, the soul must want and do as well. Therefore, it makes her feel all the weight of its immutability, so as to render her immutable in such a way that she must not be subject to changing because she sees creatures suffer, or because she sees them without some temporary good, or because she wants to give it. This would be going out of its immutability. This is human sanctity. The sanctity of my will is divine sanctity and does not admit these weaknesses. If my divine will were subject to this, our justice would have to be without life in our supreme being, which cannot be. So as we live in God's will, we want what he wants. How many times he wanted to chastise the people and Louisa begged him not to, and she wanted to suffer in their stead rather than the people suffering. She wanted to take on their sufferings. And he said, and that's why he would stay away from her, because if he came near her, he would, this love that they had gone between the two of them was so immense that he would not be able to do what he wanted to do. He'd have to do her will, just like his mother. He can, well, they say, go to Mary. He can't say no to his mother because she lived totally in divine will. So, but you know, as we grow and live in the divine will more and more, we only want what God wants. And so God, she must have come to the point that this, he was saying, if you can live in the divine will, if God wants to chastise, you want to chastise. Whatever God wants, you want. You see suffering, but you know if the suffering is going to bring about a greater good, that's what you want. You realize the value of the soul. The soul lives forever. The body dies. So if the body has to suffer in order for the soul to be saved, I always pray for each member of our family that God takes them out of the world before they would ever lose their souls. You'd rather see your family members dead than lost, you know. So, you know, times are bad. We don't know what's going to happen. Many people died of the COVID and other things are going to happen. People will die, but perhaps that's because God knows that's the best time for them to go. We won't live a day longer or a day less than what he wants us to live. You know, he's got a time for us, each one of us, to go to be with him. So, you know, we can't be afraid of that. We can't fear. We have to be happy. We have to be joyful as things fall apart around us. If we see the hand of God in it, God doing greater things because of the chastisements, winning souls, saving souls, we have to give our fiat and we have to keep our joy and our peace and not be worried. It sounds easy, but it isn't. But I think the only way to get there is to continually read the divine will and try to do acts around the divine will. Then we can have that peace. Otherwise, in our human nature, it will never happen. We won't be able to reach that.
That's right. You know, it's interesting when you say that Jesus was, well, he had to keep his distance from Louisa because his love was so great for her that, you know, he would want to do what she wants. And it's similar to in the City of God, Blessed Agreda, Mary Agreda, talks about our Blessed Lord going to the Father and asking, can my mother be spared of some of the pains that she's going to be going through? And the Father said, no, for her to be the complete mother, she must endure what you endure. So again, we see God's love for us. And of course, thy will be done. He always did the will of the Father. But asking, again, nobody likes to, God doesn't like to bring us punishment. But he knows that if a punishment, like you said, Mother, if we were to lose our physical life today to be able to retain our spiritual life forever, that's an exchange all of us, if we believed, would make that choice. Yes, I'd rather die today to live with you forever as opposed to live another 40 years and lose eternity with you. So again, that's a mystery that we can't understand, but we ought to trust in God and what he does and what he doesn't do.
Well, we just listened and watched the movie of Saint Rita because it was her feast day recently. And she prayed that her husband, her two sons would die before they lose their souls. They wanted to avenge their father's death. And of course, she prayed for her husband's conversion. He was converted before he died, and he didn't want to murder someone at the very end because he realized it was wrong. So he was converted, and then the two sons were going to avenge the father's death, and she prayed that they would die before they did that. They both got a disease and died, and they both repented on their deathbeds. They were like 9 and 10 years old, young boys, you know. So how she was, and then God gave us this great gift to bring in her to live in this community, you know, and he miraculously took her in when they didn't want to accept her, you know. So the great grace of how much this woman had to suffer. She had to suffer so much for the conversion of her son, her husband and her two sons.
That's trust. That's faith. Another quick quote before our sister speaks by St. Philip Neri. He says, quote, first let a little love find entrance into their hearts and then the rest will follow. God just waits for us to open that door to love and he'll fill it. Ever ending. Sister Francesca.
Peter, I'm smiling because that was the exact quote I had right on my lap.
No.
I had
read it. No, that was perfect.
You gave me the second. No, that wasn't what I was going to read, but I remembered. Oh, good, okay. I saw that this morning on a little Catholic app that I have. I said, I'm going to read that because that kind of fits. That was perfect, Peter.
I'm good at stealing lines.
Mother was talking about the St. Rita movie. I had seen it a few times, but I hadn't seen it in a long time. And it just, every time it touches you, because the thing that was so touching about her life was her capacity to love people who did terrible things to her. You know, it's very easy to love the people that love us or that do good things to us or that we have, you know, a natural affection for. But she was really able to love and forgive, you know, the and the only, I feel like the only way that that's even possible is when we're filled with the love of God. Otherwise, humanly speaking, that's not possible. And I just want to read a letter from Luisa that she wrote to a priest. And she was basically talking about that, how, you know, our union with Jesus, our love with Jesus is the answer to everything. It's letter number 13, which I don't know if anybody out there listening has the letters. I'm sure Peter, I know it's on our website. I'm sure it's on your website, but there's a great little index in the front to where if you want to learn about a certain theme, it's broken up into a bunch of different themes. So you can just kind of look for what you want to read about. And it's got the letter numbers there, which is really convenient. And I found exactly what I was looking for today. Okay, letter 13 to Father Bernardo of the Most Holy Hearts from Assisi. What I recommend to you is to look at the divine will in all things, both the favorable and the adverse, painful, sorrowful ones, and in the contrasts of life, which no one lacks. Rather, blessed Jesus allows them in order to form the little rocks on which to raise the building of sanctity within us, since without the cross, we would lack the primary element to becoming saints. Saying, I can't become a saint, means that you rely too much on yourself. You look at yourself instead of abandoning yourself in the arms of Jesus. Lean on him, and you will see that all things, pains, crosses, miseries, weaknesses, the very defects and illnesses will lose their look and will all turn into messengers and bearers of sanctity. Sweet Jesus gave you everything to make of you a saint, call to religion, crosses, nourishment. And if you sin and are not holy, do you want to know the cause? Lack of union with Jesus. Union with Jesus floors all sins. Love kills all passions, and abandonment in him and trust are the nourishment in order to grow in sanctity. Here is the means to sin no more. To be united with Jesus, love him, and always do his will. Don't think about the past. This harms you a great deal. Rather, even today, begin your life with Jesus, and you will find out for yourself how all things change for you. You will feel like another man, born again in all that is holy. So, I mean, that's the secret. We spend so much time trying to fix ourselves and to try to get over our weaknesses. And there is definitely cooperation. It's not like we're doing nothing in the divine will. You know, the Lord leads and we do have to cooperate, but we exhaust ourselves trying to do it ourselves. And like Luisa says here, when we find that we can, it's a little sign that we're trusting too much in ourselves. Jesus just wants us to abandon ourselves in his arms and let him love us in the ugliness that we find in us and in the miseries and in the sinfulness. He doesn't want us dwelling on it. In fact, Luisa tells this priest that it harms us. We replay things over and over. It's reruns constantly in our heads of the things that we regret or embarrassed about. But Jesus wants us to let go of that. And I think part of that is letting go of our pride and our vanity. Because a lot of times we do that because, yes, we feel bad that we offend Jesus. But I think more often than not, it's because we're embarrassed that we've fallen in front of other people, or maybe people think less of us, or kind of we scandalize ourselves because we want to think of ourselves as holier than we actually are. And Jesus in his goodness allows us to fall to show us that just how weak we are, but also just how great and merciful he is. Like that quote from Philip Neri, for us and for others, it just takes a little bit of love. When we know that we're loved, everything is possible. And then we do grow in holiness. We sin less. We're able to do those holy things that sometimes has felt like an obligation because we don't trust in the love of God. We do them out of fear. We do them because we're trying to earn God's love. We do them because we're trying to earn other people's love. But when we truly feel loved and are secure in God's love, in that we are his children and there's nothing that we can do to make him love us more and love or have him love us less, then we're happy. Then we're living in the joy of the Lord. And all those holy things that maybe used to feel like a weight or an obligation, they become a joy. Loving others becomes a joy. And we just want to share that joy and that love with others. Especially like St. Rita showed us, you know, even others that don't treat us so nice. And because then it becomes okay because we don't need them to treat us nice because we have the Lord who treats us like his beloved children. And that little love, even though it's difficult at times, that's what's going to transform others. That's what's going to transform us. And little by little, as we all do that, that's what's going to transform the world.
Yeah, and you mentioned about the past too. You know, the past can really cripple us because we get so focused on it. I remember that phrase, today is crucified between two thieves, yesterday and tomorrow, because both of which we don't have anymore. We don't know if we're going to have tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. We cannot dwell on that. We have to seize the moment. That's today. That's right now. You want to know what God's will is? Whatever you're doing right now, as long as it's not sinful. We've got about four or five minutes before the break, sister.
Yeah, speaking of love, really, I mean, even scripture tells us that the reason why we love is because God loves us. And it seems to me that the talk this time is about love. And so I actually found a passage here, January 7, 1938, volume 35. And it's exactly what the Lord is explaining to Louisa and to us about how much he loves us and how much he craves for our love in return. And so he told Louisa, my dearest daughter, heaven and earth and all the creatures are completely wrapped as though enclosed within the intensity of our love. Our volition flows with such rapidity in every fiber, in every atom, in every instant, with such speed and fullness that nothing remains, not even a breath, that is not life of our will. Our love loves ardently, but with such ardor that it feels the need of someone to bring a little refreshment to the immensity of its love. Now, do you want to know what can give relief to the intensity, totality, and fullness of our love? The I love you of the creature. And the more she says it, the more refreshment she brings to us. This I love you enters into our flames. It breaks them. It raises them. It soothes them. And as the sweetest refreshment, she says, I love you. I love you. You love because you want to love. And I am here to love you. This I love you finds its way inside our intensity, forming its own little place, the little space in which to place its I love you. Therefore, the I love you of the creature is a support for ours, our refreshment, the quiet for our love, that it may rave too much. My daughter, to love not being loved is like trying to obstruct the course of our love, restraining it within ourselves, making us feel all the pain and the hardness of our unreturned love. So we go in search for one who loves us. Her I love you is so sweet and refreshing for us that who knows what we would give her to have it. See then how we find the refuge of our life in the one who lives in our will. We do nothing other than exchange our lives continuously. She gives us her life and we give her ours. This reminds me of a talk from Scott Hahn a long time ago about the exchange of covenant. It's not about exchange of goods, exchange of services. Okay, God, I do something good for you and you give me something in return. It is an exchange of life. Love itself is life. Love is not love unless it gives life. And so when God loves us, he gives us life. We return it to him through love. And no matter what circumstance in life, whether in goodness or suffering, crosses, even probably more so in our suffering, I don't have much time left here, but I will continue later on if there's an opportunity. But Mother mentioned earlier about our family members, that we prefer our family members to lose their life on earth. As a matter of fact, what I've been doing actually is don't wait until your relatives or loved ones die and then you pray for them or offer masses for them. We can do all these rounds. I love you on their behalf. That's the beauty about doing the divine will, living in the divine will, is that you can do this not only for ourselves, but we can do this for our family members. We don't have to wait for them to convert even. Do it now on their behalf. Say, I love you. I glorify you. I praise you, Lord, on behalf of my father or my mother for their conversion, for their sanctification. And you will be amazed how much that prayer is so powerful, because it's now Jesus in you doing that. Playing the rosary, going to our Blessed Mother, doing the rosary in divine will and doing rounds. You know, we talk about doing rounds all the time, rounds of creation, redemption, sanctification. That converts everything, everyone in the whole world.
Amen. Yeah, you talked, sister, about we want good for everyone, our families and even our enemies. And Jesus reminds us of that in volume 11, May 18th, 1915. He states, "The divine justice imposes chastisements, but neither these chastisements nor God's enemies will get close to those souls who live in my divine will. Know that I will have regard for the souls who live in my will and for the places where these souls reside." End quote. This is from volume 11, which in its Italian translation carries the church's seal of approval, the imprimatur, and then the nihil obstat. Jesus tells us it's been 6,000 years. He's been getting us ready, disposing us, waiting for the opportunity. And he says to Luis and to us, now is the time. It's finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side. Finally.
Finally arrived here.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Larry, from Radio Maria. Again, you are listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in our homes. We are here with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live from Italy. And, you know, Mother, Sister, we're talking about, you know, the Feast of St. Philip Neri today and the divine will and this light that God has given us during these darkest, probably the darkest of days, but again, perhaps a bit darker yet to come. And I was going to put on, again, this is the Spring Mariathon. We mentioned that early in the program. And I was going to put on my fundraising cap, but I decided not to. Not because I'm afraid of messing up my hair, because we're on radio. You can't see it anyway. But literally because fundraising and doing what's right with what we can sort of is a natural occurrence. I mean, if you like the programming at Radio Maria, if you love the divine will and growing closer to God, you know, you'd want this broadcasting to continue. The two words I don't like in my life is what if, because if I look back, you know, what if I had done this? What if I had not done that? We can't do that. So, you know, Sister Francesca mentioned about, you know, we have to leave that past behind and the behind in the past. There are needs. There's equipment refreshment. There's opportunities with new markets. So when we say a market, new souls, a broad base of new souls that can be given encouraging words, can be given, in essence, what is needed, especially in these times right now. So we have a few perks that I'd like to mention on air now before we begin talking about how we can help and continuing with the divine will, because again, it's intermingled here. You heard the song Finally by Christina Lenway. That is our theme song that was just played. I spoke with Christina earlier this morning, and she will make available an autographed copy of a CD of Finally and a few other songs of hers with any specific note you'd like. If perhaps you want to give it to a loved one, for a deceased member, just let us know. So if you call in with a donation of $100 or more, we'll get you a CD autographed and with a personal note to your liking, to your request, to you. Again, it's radiomaria.us or call 888-408-0201. So that's for the CD autograph by Christina Lenway, who wrote and sung Finally. And for any donation that comes in any amount, because God knows what we can do and what we can't do. And if you can't give financially, you give spiritually. Equally impressive, equally gratifying, equally helpful. But for any donation that comes in, we will give each person a relic prayer card of Luisa Picaretta. And in this card, you will have a prayer for her intercession and for healing. And we expect a miracle. We don't just wish and pray for one. We expect a miracle. And in this card is a piece of Luisa's clothing. So this is incredible. Again, we don't venerate the clothing, but again, we just follow scripture. Remember the woman who was hemorrhaging, touched the tassel of our Lord. She knew if she touched our Lord's tassel that she'd be healed. Her faith healed her. So again, this relic prayer card of Luisa is available to anyone making a donation today. Please, during this program, you dial 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201, or go to radiomaria.us. And we're so blessed to have Mother with us today and every Thursday, who she knows about this. Again, she's very humble. We don't speak about this often, but for over 35 years, Mother Gabriel Marie was Sister Catherine at EWTN. She was the right-hand sister and the secretary to Mother Angelica. Now, we know we have sometimes we think of a secretary as being a menial task. Remember, Jesus calls Luisa the secretary of the divine will. So it's not a menial position. It's not a menial office. And Mother Gabriel was the secretary to Mother Angelica. Mother Gabriel, there's some interesting stories on Mother Angelica and how she started EWTN, how she did it with no money. And through the grace of God, things happen. But again, we have to respond to the grace of God. He allows us to participate in whatever way we can, and he knows what we can and cannot do. Mother, can you share a bit on it? I think your microphone's off, Mother.
Mother Angelica was a great witness to divine providence. She would buy things without any money. I mean, thousands of dollars worth of things. You know, I mean, the first television dish we got, satellite dish, it was $600,000, and the man was at the door waiting for the money, and Mother didn't have the money. And a sister comes to her. She said, Mother, there's a man on the phone wants to talk to you. She said, okay. She was glad to get away from this man. So she goes to the phone, and this man says, Mother, I want to give you $600,000. How would you like me to send it to you? She says, wire it right now. But Mother Angelica had one miracle after another that happened like that. The first thing she did before she started the network, I entered in 78, 3 years before the networks was founded. We were printing little books. She wrote 57 little books, and she went out and bought $200,000 worth of printing material. And we said, Mother, how are you going to pay for that? She said, God's got all the money in the world. Well, God did pay for it. He paid for everything. But she used to say, if everybody gave her $1, they could keep the network on the air. Now, they've been on since 1981, 24 hours a day, and it costs over $2.5 million a month to keep it on the air. More than that now, when I was there, which was many years ago, I left in 2009. It was, I think, approximately that much, but they've got hundreds of employees. Now I think they just opened an office in Iraq. That's got to be divine providence. So I think, just like Radio Maria, the little that you give a little, God's going to give you much more in return, little by little, but you give what you can and give it with love in your heart, and how much God is going to touch souls through you, because it's not only because you enjoy listening to Radio Maria, but all the thousands of people out there that are listening, you're contributing to their faith growing, maybe some conversions. And in heaven, you're going to meet these people that you helped because you gave to Radio Maria, and they could stay on the air. And so they were blessed with what they heard and what they learned. So I encourage you to give whatever you can, give your prayers, give financially, but also give your prayers. That's a great, great thing to give too, a great gift to give to Radio Maria.
And just like our priests, you know, Mother, we don't want the bulk of their day, you know, having to contend with you know, raising the money to keep the lights on. Same with Radio Maria. We want them to look forward and to be able to have the opportunity to expand their presence, to reach more souls, to be able to refresh equipment so that you know, we can be heard clearly. All of this, you know, takes money, unfortunately. And again, a lot of us have been blessed with excess. If we really think about how much money we waste or can do without. Like, for example, someone just told me that a cup of coffee at our local Dunkin' Donuts is $4.25. He goes there every day. So, I mean, $35 a week. What is that a month? That's $140 a month in coffee. Make the coffee at home. It's probably better. And you know what kind of water is going in it. You know whose hands are on it. And you can give that $140 a month to Radio Maria. I mean, there's just so many little things that we take for granted, but there's a lot we can cut back on and really not even feel like we're cutting back and give. There's a lot of opportunity. Sister?
Yeah, so as today is the feast of Saint Philip Neri, I just remember his quote that the greatness of the soul is measured by its desire to suffer for the love of Jesus. So, yeah, I mean, that's Luisa. it's so much connected. And also, I remembered there is, I think her name is Blessed Sister Consolata. If I remember well, so she had also like visions of Jesus and all, and she asked him, what's the most beautiful prayer for his heart, something like that. And he said, if you tell me, Jesus, Mary, I love you, save souls. And just like to repeat it all the time. And I was just thinking, you know, if we do it in the divine will, in the name of everyone, Jesus, Mary, I love you, save souls, like all the time, you know, it's very much divine will. It's all about, you know, putting your I love yous. So also I was reading in the volume 15, July 1st, 1923, Benefits and Effects of Prayer in the Divine Will. I was fusing myself in the holy divine will in order to go around every creature's intelligence and give to my Jesus the return of love of every thought of creatures. But as I was doing this, a thought told me, what is the benefit of praying in this manner? On the contrary, it seems to me that this is nonsense rather than prayer. And my always adorable Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, do you want to know what is the benefit and the effect of it? When the creature comes to throw the little stone of her will into the immensity of my divinity, as she throws it, if her will wants to love, the waters of the infinity of my love ripple, get rough, and I feel the waves of my love emanating their celestial fragrance, and I feel the pleasure, the joys of my love being moved by the little stone of the will of the creature. So that, I picture this as this little Jesus, Mary, I love you, save souls, no? And then he continues, if she adores my sanctity, the little stone of the human will shakes the sea of my sanctity. In sum, in anything the human will wants to do in mine, it flings itself like a little stone into each sea of my attributes. And as it shakes them and ripples them, I feel I'm giving my own things and the honors, the glory, the love which the creature can give me in a divine manner. So it happens as to a person who is very rich and has all goods in his house, most fresh springs, fragrant springs, hot springs. If another person enters his house, he does not know what to give him because that person possesses everything. However, wanting to please him, he wants to love him. And what does he do? He takes a little stone and throws it into the fresh spring. The waters being shaken emanate the most delicate freshness, and so the Lord of that house can enjoy the pleasure of the freshness of his own fount, delighting in the very goods he possesses. But why? Because the other one had the thought of shaking that spring, since when things are shaken, they emanate more intensely the fragrance, the freshness, and the heat which they contain. Here is the meaning of entering into my will. To shake, to move my being, and to say to me, do you see how good, lovable, loving, holy, immense, powerful you are? You are everything, and I want to move you all, to love you and to give you pleasure. Do you think this is trivial? Having said this, he withdrew in my interior, and I remained thinking, how good Jesus is. It seems to me that he greatly delights in communicating himself to the creature, and that he takes so much pleasure in manifesting his truths, that while he is saying one, the same truth is like a spur on him, almost pushing him with irresistible force to manifest more. What goodness, what love. Yeah, so this also reminded me the act of love of Saint John of the Cross, simply by saying, my God, I love you. My God, I love you. I mean, how much God loves it. Jesus loves it. And if we do that in the divine will, how much power, I mean, how much love, his own love he will receive. And also, I just wanted to share quickly, a few days ago, I read about from Maria Valtorta, who was the disciple that Jesus loved the most. And it's he said in the visions for Maria Valtorta that it was Judas Iscariot. And I mean, it was so shocking for me to hear it. And he explains why is that. He says, well, it was it was easy to love Saint John because Saint John loved him so much, kind of almost to be compared with his own love, because of each act of Jesus's love towards him, he was giving him in return as much as he could. But for Judas the Iscariot, Jesus already knew it's like unuseful to love. I mean, like, he would betray him. All the love and everything he was giving to him, that, however, it will have no return. I mean, it will be just like the bitterness and the, yeah. So how much, someone mentioned before, Sister Francesca, I think, like, it's easy to love the ones that love you, but the ones that are really like love that is not returned or returned with hatred, even how hard this is. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, sister. It's just, the love is a catalyst. You know, God matches any little bit of love. And if we really want to love God, one way we can do it is love his mother. Oh, and nobody can ever be more Marian than our blessed Lord. So if we love our Lord, let's love our Lady. And how do we love our Lady with Radio Maria? Well, let's continue our Lady's mission in Radio Maria. In fact, I think it was yesterday they celebrated, Radio Maria US celebrated their 22nd anniversary. I think so. So please correct me if I'm wrong on that. Let's keep that going. Let's continue. Let's assist what God has already started, what our Blessed Mother has inspired. And we can do that by calling 888-408-0201 or go to radiomaria.us. Please, if you can right now. Mother?
Yep. If you love Radio Maria, give some money. Right. Like Mother Angelica used to say, you know, as you give, you belong to the family. You belong to the Radio Maria family as you give, and you participate in all the works of all the people who are involved. You don't have to do the work. You're just giving the money, but you're part of all of that, all of the work that they, and you're married by all of the works that they're doing, especially if you're doing it, you're giving it in divine will, you know, give your money in divine will. It's a divine will act, you know, and it's going to bear much fruit.
That's right. Amen. Thank you, Mother.
And also, that. Mother, to give until it hurts. For Mother Teresa, sometimes it's not convenient to give because we have other obligations. But you know, if it hurts, that's even probably more meritorious.
That's right. Remember the lady in Scripture, the little lady that gave the 2 pence. She didn't give much compared to the others, but she gave everything, which is actually more than the others. So everything is relative. You know, really quickly, Mother, I just want to, you know, we talked about those little gifts we have. Again, for anyone giving a donation of $100 or more, you'll get a CD of the song Finally, which is our theme song, autographed by Christina Lamway, the author and songwriter, and with a little personalized note, whatever you'd like her to write on that. And for any donation, any amount that you can, a relic prayer card of Louisa, which includes a piece of Louisa's clothing. I have a personal story. A very good friend of ours that's in our cynical group, she's a devout Catholic, journeying in the divine will, and she's married to a non-practicing Muslim. But he's always been very supportive of her journey in the divine will. Well, he contracted cancer, and it was on his deathbed in the hospice that this lady brought a Louisa prayer card, placed it on the chest of her husband while he was still coherent, still speaking, and at that moment made his conversion, and he became a Catholic, and he received the sacraments. The priest came in. So again, the relic card didn't save his life physically, but that relic card probably, and in fact, he did save his life spiritually. He forgoed the Muslim faith. He became Catholic. He believed in everything that she was explaining to him over the course of many, many years. And the relic card was on his chest when he made the conversion and when he received the sacraments for the first time. So again, this is a personal witness that I experienced, that I saw. I was there firsthand. If it can happen here, it can happen anywhere. Mother, sisters.
That's a greater miracle than a physical healing is, you know, the salvation of his soul. So what a great miracle that was.
Sister?
Today, also my meditation is about the mystery of love. This is from volume 20, January 28, 1927. And here Jesus talks about how voluntarily Jesus and Mary suffered the poverty. Everything was our own. At one wish of ours, sumptuous palaces would have been raised and banquets prepared with foods never before seen and tasted. And in fact, when it was needed, at a little wish of ours, even the birds served us, bringing us fruits, fish, and other things in their beaks, making feasts because they were serving their creator and their queen. With their trilling, singing, and warbling, they play for us the most beautiful melodies, so much so that in order not to attract the attention of creatures with our uniqueness, we had to command them to depart, to continue their flight under the vault of the heavens, where our will was waiting for them. In obedience, they would withdraw. Therefore, our poverty was of love. It was poverty of example, to teach creatures detachment from the low things of the earth. It was not poverty of necessity, nor could it be so in an absolute way, because wherever the fullness, the life of my will reigns, all evils end as though under one single blow, as they end, they lose life. So as I read this passage, I realized how God becoming man, becoming poor and powerless, were so much more miraculous than revealing himself as he is, rich and omnipotent. And Jesus chose to be a human like us, to make us his brothers and to bring us to God, our Father. And he really chose to be poor so that he can teach us the detachment from the worldly things. And he chose to suffer and die so that he can repair for our sins and to give us eternal life. And he chose to be little so that he can teach us true humility and obedience to God. And by his own life, he really set the example to show us the way to heaven. He could have come as an all-powerful God, and no one could have dared scourge him, spat on his face, nor insulted him, because he is the creator of all of us. And it really made me ashamed that as I see how humble and how low Jesus brought himself, as God to be a man and born to die for his creatures, this is really the immense, his love for us is immense. And everything was voluntary and spontaneous out of love. He didn't say a word. He didn't deserve it, but he just took it because he loved us so much. And he could have, you know, made a surrender to his will. But he respects our human will so much, and he lets us choose. And Jesus fulfilled the work of redemption in order to bring about the kingdom of divine will. And truly now is the time, the time has come, and Jesus wants to give us the gift of living in the divine will. And he has opened a new era, which will fulfill the Our Father prayer that we have been praying for more than 2,000 years now. And he's teaching us to give back to his will all the glory and honor, as if no one had offended it, as if all had fulfilled it, adored it, and loved it. And also in the divine will, we can give Adam back the honor that as if he had never withdrawn himself from the divine will. And the divine will has always been firm and unshakable in doing good, in spite of our so many betrayals and offenses. And he is inviting us now all the more to ascend again into the kingdom of divine will and establish it in the midst of us. And this is the promised new era of peace for humanity, which was given in Fatima. And this is the era in which the Holy Spirit will pour out and that many people will live totally consecrated in God's will. So let us dive in to receive the gift that Jesus, Mary, and Luisa had prepared for us.
Thank you, sister, for that. Yeah, thank you for reminding us, too, that this divine will, it's the fulfillment of the Our Father prayer. It is the fulfillment of the Our Father prayer. And I neglect to remind people and myself of that. Sister?
Hello. The passage I selected today is also about love. It's from November 16, 1931. It begins, my daughter, to love means to possess and wanting to make the beloved person or objects object one's own. To love means bond, whether of friendship or of kinship or of relationship, according to the greater or lesser intensity of the love. So if between the creature and God there is no void of divine love, if all his acts run toward God to love him, if they have their origin in love and in love they end, if he looks at all things that belong to the supreme being as his own, this says love of son toward his father. And then continuing on, in contrast, it says, a broken love and one that does not make our things its own, nor does it defend them, cannot be called love of son. At most, it can be love of friendship, love of circumstance, love of interest, love of necessity that does not constitute a right, because only sons have the right to possess the goods of the father. And the father has the sacrosanct duty, even by divine and human laws, to make his children possess his goods. And then it ends, therefore, love always. So loving always means bringing to the table what you have, whether it's prayers and sacrifices or whatever means you have to love God and to love him and his children.
Amen. Thank you, sister, for that. We're so blessed, Mother, to have this opportunity to be here on Radio Maria. We have the greatest homecoming in the history of mankind coming up on Sunday with the Feast of the Ascension. Please let's continue. Let's further Our Lady's mission. Everything Our Lady says draws us to her son. Do as he says. Let's do that by calling 888-408-0201, 888-408-0201, or go to radiomaria.us to get the CD of Finally and the Relic Card of Luisa Picaretta. It's all in our hands. It's all there if we want it. And let's want to want what God wants. We'll end with a quote from Philip Neri in a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. St. Philip Neri says, quote, "Give me 10 truly detached men, and I will convert the world with them." End quote. He wants us right now. The time is now. Love everyone. God bless everyone. Thanks be to God.
All right, great. Thanks.